In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This passage from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is indeed directed to the apostles, so it is a testament to the reality of what is required of us as the ordained, that God must come first above all else, and that detachment comes first above all else. We are attached to God and detached from people and things. And so it is an indication of the heroic calling that the ordained are called to, and only by the grace of God can it be done. But ultimately, it's no surprise to hear what our Lord says. One may think it is when he says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." It's not as though he is saying you have to hate mother or father, son or daughter. After all, when the Ten Commandments are assembled, the fourth is to honor your father and mother. And our Lord did say that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And if he fulfills it, then obviously he is indicating who he is just by what he says. For the first two commandments are, or rather the principal two commandments are just that, as our Lord taught. The principal two that all the ten and all the prophets, all the law and the prophets are reduced to: love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so we come back to that opportunity for us to reflect on the reality that you cannot love as you ought if you do not love God first. Because that's ultimately what Jesus is saying. He is declaring that he is God. And so therefore the law applies. You must love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So therefore he is accurately saying, whoever loves mother or father, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He's acknowledging that he is God. And he's not calling them to something that they are not accustomed to, placing God first. And of course, ideally for us as the ordained, part of our lives, indeed, all of our lives is about that reality of placing God first. Problem is, too many in modern times don't. Too many clergy do not place God first, but often place money first, or worldly human respect. But the same can be said for the laity. You are supposed to be modeling to me, who is not married, what Christ's love for his church looks like. As I always remind you, the sacrament of holy matrimony belongs to the church. It doesn't belong to you who are married. And you're required to live it in accord with the mind of Christ, not with the mind of yourselves. Too many people live marriage with the mindset that it's all about my personal happiness. It's not. It's about embracing the cross, dying to yourself. Marriage is uniquely suited to destroy concupiscence of pride, where we think only about ourselves. I'm getting married because I don't want to be alone. I'm getting married because I'm happy with this person. I'm getting married because the other person makes me laugh. It's all self-oriented. It's all self-centered. And that's what love looks like when it is worldly, when it is merely human. It is self-interested. It only seeks for itself. It is a needy, desperate thing. And too many people live so far from God, even those who sometimes come to Mass every Sunday, they live so far from God, they have no clue what love actually looks like. And therefore they think of love, again, as a needful, desperate thing that traps them, ensnares them, forces them, compels them to do this, that, or to feel this in that way. There's no freedom, they think, in love. But authentic love, if it's of God, remember, we have free will because God made us in his image and likeness. And he has free will. So he gave us free will. Love is always liberating. Love is always free. Love doesn't compel anything. Love makes no demands, as St. Paul spells out so clearly. It is not a needful thing. It is a cheerful thing. And it is a thing that is done out of a sense of giving, not receiving. Too many people love or refuse to love because they're not receiving something in return. Love begets love. If one wants to be loved, one offers love. But in all reality, That impure motive always corrupts everything, because then one becomes needy and desperate for love and then acts out. It's a distancing from God that creates the darkness and the violence we see in certain areas of the country today. Not all, because the media wants you to believe that the whole country is falling apart. It's not. But the reality is there are too many people who live in darkness, who don't know what love is and have fallen into the trap of the devil and make themselves victims. The devil and the fallen angels do believe themselves to be victims, and they're always preaching that message to ruin souls. And there's no love in victimhood, because victimhood is always about regaining power. Victimhood is always about destruction, pulling things down like statues, because it's all about hatred. It's all about punishment. And so there is no love in it. And when you consider the reality that God calls the Catholic laity to be the light of the world, to be a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden, because if he calls the apostles to it, it applies to the laity as well in that respect. Salt of the earth. You are to reflect the light of Christ in the midst of the darkness. And you are to show what love looks like. It doesn't mean you go out there and give somebody a big hug. That's not love. That's sentimentalism. That's self-oriented. That's doing something to make yourself feel good, or try to make somebody else feel good, to win that someone over. That's making love a needful thing. Love is never a needful thing. It is always giving. First letter of John. This is how we know what love is. God loved us first. Deus caritas est. God is love. Therefore, you cannot love if you do not know God. And if you think you're loving and you're distanced from God, you have no prayer life, you have no real interest in your faith, you have no real interest in knowing, loving, and serving Christ, then your love is merely an illusion. It's an emotional thing that you do to make you feel good. And that's why if you're married, you have bickering and difficulty in your marriage, because you're not really invested in the self-sacrifice that marriage calls you to. It's a cross. It is indeed loving as Christ loves. We see at every Mass the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ on Calvary Hill. At every Mass, we see what love looks like. And we experience it as Christ gives us himself, body, blood, soul, divinity, gives of himself in totality out of love for us. It does him no good. It only does us good. And that's what love looks like. Love is an act of will where you choose the best for the beloved. You choose only the good. And the good that is chosen for the beloved is first and foremost God. You know you're not truly loving someone if you sin with someone in the name of love. You know you don't really love that person if any kind of attachment to the world and detachment of God occurs, because God is goodness, truth, and beauty at its fullness, perfection. And therefore, if you love someone, you want what's best for them. What's best for them is God. No matter how much you provide for the people you love, say family, material things, all that is passing. Life itself is fragile. None of us knows if we'll be alive tomorrow. We presume it, but we really don't know. Hence, we should be living for God so that we're ready to face the judgment seat. There's no mystery to death, after all. It's when the body is separated from the soul, which God did not intend at the beginning, but it's a product of the original sin, and the soul doesn't float around in another world. It goes right to the judgment seat of Christ, and you are judged based on how you lived life in Christ, whether you accepted the Christ and lived life in him, or rejected the Christ and lived for the world and the prince of the world, the devil. And out of love, God does not consign you to spend eternity with him when you lived your life away from him, because love is not needful. God is not needy. Love is liberating. It is a loving God who sends souls to hell because the souls wanted hell, because they rejected God in this life, and God's not so mean and cruel and hateful that he would make you spend eternity with him when you rejected him in your life. Love is always liberating. Love is never desperate. Love is never needy. It is always good. It is always wholesome. And yes, it is always giving. And this is why the Church calls us, among a myriad of reasons, to be here on Sunday, to see what love looks like, to see the Christ. And if we do not place Christ first in our lives, all we need to do is witness the violence and darkness we see in the world. Because that's what life looks like when you're self-obsessed. When all you care about is yourself and what you can gain for yourself. It is dark, it is violent, it is destructive, it is unhappy, and misery loves company, which is why those who are stuck in misery endeavor to make lives miserable around them. As Fulton Sheen observed, souls that are going to hell usually know it, and they try to make everyone around them suffer and ruin the lives of other people around them, as they know they're going to hell. Because they have no hope, they only know to make others suffer as they are suffering. Repentance, of course, is a key in accepting the love of Christ and accepting that, yes, bad things do happen, unjust, awful things do happen, but that's a consequence of sin, a consequence of living under the dominion of the devil. Living for Christ is liberty and freedom, and standing up against evil, opposing it directly, and being mindful of the importance of reflecting authentic love, wanting what is good for the beloved, God, and then all that follows with regards to the blessings of God. So if you look at your own marriage or your own family life, your own friendships, your own relationships with your family, if love is a difficult thing, it's because you have made it difficult. It's because you are too self-obsessed to actually give. You're always seeking to receive. Give that up. Surrender that artificial love that is not love at all, but is coming from the devil. And embrace the love that you receive in the Christ and the Blessed Sacrament. And let that permeate you in prayer for the capacity to love, how your life will change when you be like Christ and you choose to give rather than to receive, and you choose to seek what is good for everyone around you instead of seeking only for yourself. You'll never be in opposition with them anymore, except when they become selfish, but you will be truly in a position to give witness to the love of Christ and direct them in that way. Place Christ first, and all your loves will fall in order. Place Christ first, and you'll have the grace to not let it go back to where you love yourself more than anything. What an awfully lonely, dark, and violent prison that turns out to be, because hell is filled with people who love only themselves and hate everyone around them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.